deliberately, with intent. Sinning, our thoughts, our actions, those things that we have done and or are doing that are contrary to God's will. Received, been given, accepted. Knowledge, clear and certain, power of knowing. The truth, sure, faithful. Sacrifice, a covering. Fearful, dread. Expectation, waiting on. Judgment, consequences. Ravaging, violent, with fury. Fire, combustion, burning. Consume, taken all of, destroying. Enemies of God, adversaries of, against who he is, what he stands for, and the denial of his power. These words can all be found in the Word of God. They are used at different times and in different ways, but in the end, their meaning comes back to the same thing. Hebrews 10 and 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? 1 John 2 says, "This is how we know in this last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. And if we with intent keep on with our thoughts, our words, and our actions in doing those things that we know are contrary to the will of God, after we have taken in, believed in, accepted, and embraced the knowledge of the truth, the certain and sure fullness of his word, of who he is, of what he has done, is in fact doing now and will see to completion in the days yet to come, then for those walking away after tasting the sweetness of the Lord and turning back to the bitterness of the world and savoring it over the Lord, then there is nothing left to be done for them. No sacrifice for their sin is left, as life has been given. A sacrifice has been made. Hope, once lost, is now restored to those who will believe. But if a person says, "That's not enough, that doesn't work for me," what then, I must ask, is there left for that person to be accepting of that will redeem them from the destiny being held for them? There's nothing. And so then what becomes of that person? Hebrews 10 and 27. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. A place in hell has been set for them, and that should make us come to our knees, because many are those who profess Christ but have never known him, and many are those who have known of him but turned and walked away from him, even after having tasted the sweetness of Christ, and they have chosen the things of the world over the things of God. They have once again made themselves an enemy of God. They have mocked the Lord's table. They have mocked the Lord. They have fooled themselves and would rather believe a lie than suffer in the name of Christ. And they would rather seek than comfort than seek the face of God. They would rather deny the person of Jesus Christ than be denied what they desire. Jesus offers to all who will come the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation. He has offered the gift of his body, of his blood, as a sacrifice to cover the sins of man, of you and I. Jesus came down from heaven. Heaven was his home before the earth was. He is the Son of God. He took on the image of the Son of Man to walk among men and to give of himself for the sins of the world. He walked the world. He showed the people God's hand at work. And he spoke to them the very words of God, and for it, for the purity of it, they killed him, because they were afraid of the holiness in what he spoke, and they refused to accept God's ways, God's Son, God's hand, God's gift. They denied God's grace. When what was before them was everything they had waited for, they refused it, because it did not come to them with force as they had become accustomed to and lived by themselves. Rather, it came to them in love, and the price for that love to redeem mankind, to rescue them, was the death of the Son of God. The Son of God was taken into custody, given mock international trials, both Jewish and Roman courts. He was beaten and scourged, whipped, flogged, tortured. He had flesh torn from his body and was then sentenced to death. The people called for the punishment of crucifixion, and these were the same people that every day for the past 3 years they had seen him walking amongst them, had been witness to his healings and other miracles, and they had sat and listened as he spoke the words of God to them to stir their hearts to move and to act, to have faith and believe. Crucifixion was the cruelest of ways to die. It meant a slow, torturous death of suffocation while hanging on a cross, being made a public spectacle. And after he had died, they pierced his side to take any question out of the equation as to whether he really was dead. And with that piercing, they believed that they had taken all hope away from those who had followed him and who had believed his words. But death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him down. And after 3 days, he arose. You see, that's the funny thing about God. He doesn't get discouraged. He always has a plan, and there's not a being in heaven or on the earth or under the earth, for that matter, that can thwart the plans of God. And so it was that the Son of God, the Son of Man, was seen alive after having been dead, and 500 witnesses saw him alive again, and the disciples were witness to his ascension into heaven, where he went to sit at the right hand of God, and is now waiting on the day when his Father will send him to bring out of the world those who are his own, those who have been given to him by God the Father. And the end of time, days, will draw to a close. The writer of Hebrews says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. And so to you, if after hearing his words that have come to you, if after receiving his gift of salvation, his gift of forgiveness, if his death you shrug off and his resurrection you deny as even being possible, and if his last breath, in hearing his plea, not to you, but for you to God, to forgive you because you know not what you do, then what? What can possibly move you? What can get your attention as you have denied what you have seen, what you have in your heart, what you have felt in your heart, in the very core of your being? If you have turned from the hand that reaches out to grab hold of you and to pull you from the pit you are in, that offers to breathe new life into you, reviving your spirit, then what more is there for you? Only a fearful expectation of judgment. Everyone knows in their heart right or wrong. And God has laid that upon the hearts of man, but with him again, not by force, but by free will, he asks you to come. Jesus is heard often making the invitation to come and follow me. That means walking away from those things that are not pleasing to God. And if you have tasted the sweetness of the Lord in your life, then you know what I speak of. Because when you do wrong, it will be made known to you by the Holy Spirit. And you will either act to turn from your ways of pleasure that are wrong, or you will turn from God. And will after time, because God is very patient with us, but after time, he will give you over to your ways. And then what you now know will condemn you, and you will be worse for it, as you will fit into neither kingdom, as you will be subject for your beliefs from the world, and you will have, in denying God, rejected his gift of salvation and endangered yourself to the very real possibility of hell eternal. Lord, open our eyes to the fact that if we once came to you but now don't know you and deny you and live as such, then maybe we had better sit for a while and give honest consideration as to where it is that we will spend eternity. Too many have been taught that once saved, always saved, but have not thought about the pain and suffering that they bring when they walk as a person of the world and not then as a child of God. You called Israel yours. And yet those that fled Egypt in the Exodus and who rebelled against you in the wilderness, they are buried in the desert. They did not enter the promised land. And when the people rebelled over and over again, you sent them into exile. You sent armies to invade to get their attention. How can we put ourselves above those that you have chosen for yourself as a people, and then by our actions claim to be children of God? Lord, it is your heart that desires that none should perish, and you are more than patient with us, but in our weakness, Lord, we are prone to wander. And Lord, I pray today for all those who have backslidden into their old ways and walk as one of the world. Lord, may there be many of them that once again come out of the world. It can be done. Lord, I once was a backslider myself, but you found me in the back row of a little country church. You called me back, and you offered me a renewing of our relationship, and I turned back to you and have never looked back. May others be found, Lord, that have wandered, and may their strength be renewed and their faith increased. Amen.